This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Welcome back to the Power Zone, the last hour of the show that is being on 98.6 here in Johannesburg and Pretoria. And that is where you can find us on other platforms as well, in Joburg South, in the West Rand, in Vereeniging, in East Rand, in Ekurhuleni, on various dials that is. But we are also on audio channel 889 and www.power987.co.za. Good morning. Welcome to the show. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Katlego Lerodi. I'm your host, and we are together until the hour 3 o'clock. I'm excited about this next conversation that we'll be having with my guest here, because we really need to take stock. We need to talk about these things, and it's not often that you hear men being really welcoming and accepting to counseling, but we're hearing here that it needs to start even there when you're a child. Organization Jita Ovalina, an environment really for men to express their feelings without feeling judged or being categorized as weak. Here, this campaign, Take a Boy Child to Counseling, programming this by Jita Ovalina, and of course my guest here, Manke Marakala, will tell us all about it, and as we get a sense of the importance really of just opening up and creating safe spaces as well for men. She's a counselor for men and the founder of Mjita Ova Linda. Manke, welcome to the Power Zone.
Hi, good morning, Katlego.
Are you well? Are you well this morning?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's so lovely to have you on, and on a very, very important discussion here that we can never stop overemphasizing the need to open up, as men, to speak about what we go through as men. Often you hear that we are even misdiagnosed with issues like your depression, your anxieties and the likes, and we tend to be reactive, and we don't even understand sometimes where this anger is coming from, or our reaction is coming from. So it's often because as men we've been accustomed to believe that you keep it in, you don't cry, and that is something that has proven to be problematic over time. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, let us in on, Mjita Ovalina and the work that you do, really. I see that you're a counselor, and specifically a counselor for men. Let us in on, really, the importance of the work that you do, and how really has it been in this space where, we're breaking the stereotypes, we're breaking what has been, presented over time, where now we're encouraging men to be comfortable around speaking out.
It has been a very emotional journey. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. It's not easy on me. It's not easy mm-hmm. on these men that are still going through their own healing. Mm-hmm. And they are not even aware that it's a healing process. Most of them, they're not aware. They think that it's just, they're just living their life. Mm-hmm. So, we started in 2020 during COVID, and by that time, a lot of people just lost their jobs, their families, and all of that due to COVID. And I realized that, we need to do this. And the main reason why I started Mjita Ovalina is because I saw a gap, right? So I was working at this men's mental health institute, and I was only seeing white people. And I was worried, where's our black brothers and uncles and boys and whatever? And they told me that they don't like counseling. They don't like to talk. Why? Because the language was actually a barrier. So I started Mjita Ovalina, and it was not easy. But eventually they started to talk. Until now, we are on 300 clients. Mm. So, yeah, it's positive. People will say men don't talk, but they can talk, and they are actually talking.
Yeah, and really the importance of it all, because often we are seeing that there's always been this thing that men don't cry, men don't talk, and the likes, the importance of breaking that whole cycle. Have you seen it to be beneficial? Are you seeing the fruits of it all? And do you feel that there's a need really to see even beyond the 300, seeing more men really come out to speak about their day-to-day experiences and challenges?
Well, like that, the thing of men don't cry stigma, according to you, you know, I always, whenever people say, no, you know what, men cannot do this or boys cannot do this, and I say, according to who are you to define how men should feel, when they should feel, with who they should feel? You understand? And I actually see us moving in actually a great number, and this is just the beginning. This is just testimonies of telling people that, you know what, if one and two, they can talk about what they are going through, you can also do that without anybody judging you or making you feel otherwise or whatever. It's all about creating a healthy environment. This thing, our men don't talk, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist, actually. We just have to create a healthy environment for them to be able to talk about. But as a community, as a country, and as a nation, we haven't created that healthy environment. We want men to talk on our conditions, understand? And it doesn't work like that. And the sad part is that we have the government as setting the rules. And worst part, you said that give up to entirety. So the thinking of men don't cry, it doesn't exist. We just have to keep on creating that healthy environment and to allow men to heal ka pace yabona, any conditions tsabona. And the very same support that we're giving to women and girls is the very same support that we need to give to a boy child, because you've never had people saying, no, Mara, like a woman must heal in this manner, but a girl child must heal in this manner. It's always men. Why? It's because of I don't want to say we don't care about men, but I think people, they don't care about men's feelings, honestly.
And really, then this is a task of just changing something that has been perpetual over time. That cycle is not going to be an easy one. Do we see men then themselves really coming through to say that I am breaking out of this shell that I've been under for quite some time now, and I want to speak? Do we see them voluntarily coming out to say that they want to talk? Are they going through the most? Or often you'd see someone then saying that I'm a referral from whoever and however, but it wasn't really my own, out of my own accord to say I'm waking up and then I'm going to get some sort of you know, assistance in terms of or in the likes of a counseling.
Actually, they do come, and they come in different manners. Some of them, they come through suicidal modes. Some of them, they come and say, you know what, I just want to be part of you. I don't need counseling, but I just want to have you around. Some of them, they just follow. Some of them, they just, you know, acknowledge. And one thing that I can tell you is that that following and that acknowledgement, it's the first step, right? And those ones that come through suicidal modes, like last year, no, not really last year, ever since we started, we have received 220 suicidal modes. And out of the 220, we have only lost 5 due to suicide. And I can tell you that there's actually a massive improvement that now these guys, they're even coming to me and say, you know what, Manke, like, now we want to help you. We need you to actually open a practice. Now we need to be part of this. There are guys that are actually coming and assisting, and they want to see this growing. So, yeah, there's actually a massive number of people. I think the time I started, I used to wake up to close to 40 DMs on Facebook. And now I'm actually waking up to more, and there's actually more work. So I'm very grateful, man. Men are out there speaking. Young boys are out there speaking. And it's beautiful, honestly. Yeah. So, yeah, they are really coming, and they are coming in numbers. And it's just that they don't go around and post and say, hey, today I went for counseling. Why? Because of we are still stigmatizing them. We are still, we still haven't created that healthy environment for them to say, yo, today I went for counseling and it was so amazing. Because one fella, they mentioned that there's somebody out there who's going to say, for what? Mara, oh, Munna, why do you have to go for counseling? No, you can still handle that. No, let's go and buy one beer and then you're going to be okay. So they are coming, those that we know and those that we don't know, even celebrities, even whoever, sports people. It's just some of them who don't broadcast their stories or whatever because of they haven't permitted us to do so. But trust me when I say even people that do know, they do come for counseling. And it's okay. There's nothing wrong about that. It's okay to go out there and ask for help because actually no man is an island and we all are going through something. So the best we can do is to be kind to each other and support one another because we're actually facing this thing, this depression thing, this mental health thing together. We are together in this. So I'd say let's just be kind to each other and let's make this a norm. Let's create this healthy environment. And I thank you guys for also creating the healthy environment for them today to be able to learn, to be able to call, to be able to cry, and to feel held and heard. So big up to you, Katlego.
Yeah. I wanted to also just find out from you, what are they telling you? What are they going through? Could it really, most of it come from their relationship side of things that is too stressful? Could it be past trauma that maybe they've experienced over time that they've carried into their adulthood? What are they telling you? Why do we really find also men just being so snappy in a way that when you see even the statistics of gender-based violence, the men are the ones that are leading the face of being perpetrators here. What are they telling you around some of the things that they are going through that maybe some of us may not even be aware of?
A lot of them are going through childhood traumas. A lot of them are going through trauma bonding. They've been with toxic partners for too long, and it's not easy now to just leave them. So they're just used to this behavior of being treated anyhow. And it's okay for them. And as for boys, young boys, a lot of them are going through false rape accusations. I had a client who is 9 years who's going through false rape accusations. And so I've noticed that it doesn't start whenever they're old. It starts now. And there's nobody who's protecting this young boys. Imagine at the age of 9, they're saying, you know what, Katla, you raped somebody, you are a rapist, and you don't deserve to live with us. So now as we're speaking, there's this young boy who is even afraid to go home every day because he was told that he is a rapist. And even after the result came out, nobody went to him and said, you know what, I'm sorry, it wasn't you, you didn't do this. Now he's being left with that title hanging around him his whole life. Understand that. So for young boys, it's actually toxic parents. Our parents, they have a lot to unlearn. And that doesn't mean they are not good people. They are good people that went through a lot too young. They are good people that are still healing, but they don't know how and when to find their healing. They are good people that they have scars that they don't want to acknowledge and actually admit. Our parents are the cause of most of our traumas. I always tell people that, yes, charity, it begins at home, but even hatred, even trauma, even anxiety and depression, it begins at home. The first people to break men are, most of them, our mothers. Remember that a boy child being raised by a mother and grow up to be with a wife, of which it's a woman as well, you know. And every time they say, but yeah, this guy's, they are trash. And I said, who raised this trash? I think as a nation, we're not ready for that conversation because it's always men this, men that, but who raised them? It's us. And we don't want to admit women break men every day from ever since they're young. And even now, we're still doing it, but we just go and hiding it behind lipsticks, makeup, and social whatever. But we do break men. And today I just want to apologize to all the men that have suffered in the hands of this woman. I'm saying, you know what, I do understand where you're coming from. But allow me to go with you through this journey of life. I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to harm you. But I'm here for you, you know. So it's us. And today I want to acknowledge that we women break men. It's not even a new thing. It's something that has been there. It's like a cultural thing that needs to be changed. But nobody wants to stand up and say, you know what, this thing is not working for us. How can we work this thing out. And when you say that men are, you know, the forefront of this gender-based violence, I do agree with you. And some of these men, they are so disrespectful. It's not an issue of depression. You can't be killing somebody and say, I'm going through things. It doesn't work like that. If you know that you are going through things, get help. Yeah. The fact that you are aware that you are going through things, it should say, get help. Why do we have to admit our traumas after we've killed somebody else? I don't promote that. I don't like that. I will tell them, there's not the right time to talk about gender, about depression when somebody has been killed.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work like that. You can't kill somebody and be saying,
no, this is
mental ill.
Yeah.
We don't do like that. And now there are a lot of women that hate me every day of my life because they're saying, yeah, when I'm a jita, how? And I'm also trying every day to tell Majita, no, guys, we don't kill this woman. Motu hasa orati. It's what that, and it's okay. Understand. So, yeah.
I love this. You know, I'm picking up as well this colloquial aspect of things. I mean, even in the name of the movement, the organization, Mjita Ovalina, you know, it's kind of, you're basically breaking it down to say that I can actually be in your shoes as well.
Yeah.
So allow me to also just understand what you're going through and be in your shoes. I mean, people are going to criticize because most people are not privy or are not welcoming to change and to be challenged. So when you're doing something like this, trust me, you're going to get a lot of people that would not respond in a positive way. I wanted to understand as well, they're taking a boy child to counseling. You're saying that sometimes it even starts there to say that, we need to take a boy child to counseling. Tell us about the issue of taking that boy child to counseling. I'm seeing that there's an age cap here that is being around 8 to 20 years, meaning we're talking about these young ones that can form part of this healthy space. How important is it? And we see really parents playing a bigger role in taking these boy children to counseling.
Yeah, I like that. First and foremost, I want to say that we've had take a girl child somewhere. Mummy and girl, mummy and this, mummy and that. But the boy child, it has been the black sheep of the family and always been left out. So for me, starting this program, I noticed that a lot of fathers are still fighting to get out of their trauma childhood. And that made me to realize that. So basically, they are boys that are going through what this man went through, and nobody was there for them, right? So I said, how about we create this healthy environment for young boys? And trust me, whenever they come for counseling or for coaching and for everything, we actually assure them that this is between me and you. And if you don't want your whoever to know about this, I'm going to protect you and I'm going to protect your confidentiality. And I was so disappointed that a lot of people that enroll their kids are mothers, honestly. I think only one man called out of 20 mothers, and he said, I want my kid to be in this program. And all of those 19 kids are kids that are growing up without their fathers, you know. And these people are broken. And at first of our sessions, I asked them to write me letters with their expectations about the program. And one of them said, please, whatever that we're going to talk about, can we please not talk about this man? I'm not here to talk about him. You don't want to be part of me. Why should now my mom come pay for these sessions so that we can talk about somebody who don't want to be there for me? Imagine that's a trauma on its own. That's anger on its own. That's something that, imagine whoever, the boy who's 12 years old, now I have comprehended that this man doesn't want to be part of my life. And it's so important for them to be on this program because it helps them to talk. It helps them to acknowledge their traumas. Some of them, they are traumatized, but they don't know because we were taught that depression it's for white people. Whenever that you're telling them you are depressed, they will tell you, Maraji, what you saying? How come you are depressed? You know. So I'm really getting the support from the parents, and it's so amazing. But I'm disappointed that we don't have Majita that are actually bringing their kids. And meaning half of these kids are growing up without their fathers. And their fathers are still there, but they don't want to be part of this. And also we need to acknowledge that, going back to women being, women damaging men, is that a lot of kids now are growing up without their fathers because their mothers wanted to prove a point. And people, they don't understand that you can be a bad boyfriend or a bad husband, but you can be a good father. And they are now using kids as their weapons to fight their own battles. And now the kids, they get to suffer the most.
I wanted to also just find out then, is this where we see the parent also getting counseling? Do they form part of these sessions? Do you often then find that, you know, maybe there's a bigger even, you know, issue with the parent that it needs to be threshed out, where some of these issues, they tend to then affect the upbringing of the young one? This taking a boy child to counseling by the moms, do we often then see the moms as well going through these sessions directly or indirectly in a way that they will also have to break their silence one way or another?
Yes, I do offer them a talking stage event space, but remember that these kids, they're healing from their father's whatever bond that they've damaged. Now the people that have to be here and clean up this mess, they don't want to be here. So now we have to work with what we have, the mothers. But in most cases, they want their fathers. Actually, they don't want their mothers to be part of this. They want to go through this journey with their mothers. And it's so hard because now and then we have to tell them, you know what, it's okay. It's okay if it doesn't want to be here. And every day we're talking about the same thing. No, but I want him to be there. At least try. Just call my father and hear, Ori, why he doesn't want to be part of me. There's nothing hating as a kid saying why he doesn't want to be with me. Why? Like, what's wrong with me? Other kids, they do have their fathers, but why not me? You know, and you get to, like, today I had a session with this young boy, and he said, you know what, at least if I had a father, I would come home, cause something, every time I go to visit him. And now that he's not even here, I have nothing to show. You understand? So yes, mothers, they do help. They do get help. But we need even fathers to acknowledge to their kids that I messed up. I want to be part of it. We need mothers to actually stop using their kids as a weapon to fight this man. Yeah. So it's hard, but we're really trying.
Yeah, and the fathers as well. But maybe what leads us to being absent? Why do we find ourselves here being absent? What are they saying around them? Often not being really upfront around taking part in their child's life. Could it be that they're anxious around the role of fatherhood? Could they be going through things as well that they've experienced as children that they don't want their children to, you know, experience, and they're scared of being a parent due to that? Or could it just be like some sort of a tiff or a quarrel that they've had with their mother over time, and that now the child is paying for the sins of the parents here? What are they telling you, the fathers, especially around this issue of not being there for their children? Because even in the first hour of the show, the first caller was saying that here we are sitting with a situation where this child passed a matric well. They need money to go to university. The father is a member of the SANDF. He works well. He's not there. And this child can't apply for, NSFAS and for other funding because they are blocked over the fact that your father is someone that is earning, around this threshold. But the father, when they reach out to him to say, please help with the registration money, please help, the child passed well. The only stumbling block is the issue of them getting that support, a financial support to go to university. But the father's not barging here. Why do we find ourselves here? What are they saying, this man?
I'm going to tell you two things. have. The first one is that you cannot give what you don't have. And you cannot, we cannot expect people to give us what we don't have. A lot of men, they were raised on trauma and stuff like that, but that is not a reason enough to be a deadbeat father. And most of these fathers, most of these men, they are married to this woman that they're still controlling them. Remember at the beginning of our conversation, I told you that a boy's child is being raised by his mother growing up to be with a wife who still have control over this man. So most of these women that are saying, men are trash for not supporting their children, they're the reason why these men are not supporting their kids. You understand? It's once fella muna anyala a certain woman, it's us. And once fella they start to support their kids, they started to, to misunderstand it. Now this man, he does have a kid outside our marriage and he needs our support. They don't want that. And a lot of men, I know a case of somebody who sent me a suicide letter and he passed on late last year because it was a fight between the mother and the wife. And he said, you know what, these people are fighting for me and I can't take it anymore. And I'm done with this life thing. Both of them is their loss. I'm gone. You know, so sometimes it's not the mother, it's the baby mama. Sometimes not the baby mama, but the wife. So these people, they're still healing from their own traumas, whatever. But it's not even the reason. People, they make choices that they don't want to be there. You can't force them. If somebody says, this is my money, I worked for it, there's nothing that you can say about it. At the end of the day, it's their choices. Hence, I said, we can use mental health issues always. Some of them, they are their choices. This is something that they are content with. And most of them, they had a bad experience with their mothers, and now they're punishing the kids. Of which I always say, we are far from being good. Honestly, as I'm sorry to use the term black people, but as black people, we are far from saying, you know what, I messed up and I'm sorry. I was not even there. We can't say I'm sorry to even the people that we love. It's always, you made me to do this. If it wasn't of you, I wouldn't be in this position. We don't want to acknowledge. We always have to blame somebody else for where we are in life, honestly. So sometimes, Katla, it's just the decisions and the people they are with right now that contribute to this matter. And I always tell these gents who don't want to support their kids, or you know what, I pray that the people you are, like, here for them now, they will be here for you later in life. Because you can't be being with somebody who don't want you to support your kids and expect your kid to support you whenever they make it in life. It doesn't work like that. And the next time they tell you, no, you know what, these people are ancestors and now you need to respect them. For what? Because he failed me at first. Why now should I feel bad for not being there for him? So even these people, they contribute to their own madness and messy life. So I'm saying, you know what, we're just too far. And there's this one artist here in South Africa that I love and I also love to meet, Java. He talks about lives and his music is therapy. And I always tell people, you know what, I wish a lot of men can listen to this guy. To speak the truth. And one thing that I picked is that he always say, whatever said was be a thing, what is scary? It's life. It works like that.
No, that is true. And I guess then there's a need for healing and safe spaces. Do we have enough of those safe spaces here at home? Could you say that we are really closing the gap here? Kadi organizations and programs like Mjita or Valina here, do we need more of these spaces so men can also feel that indeed we are listened to and we have an outlet somewhere where we can go and ventilate and just speak about the issues that we're experiencing? Is there a need really for us to capacitate these kind of spaces?
We actually don't have enough. We don't have many. And one thing that I can tell is that there's only one eye in the world that is only looking at what men do to women. But the opposite of it, it's always a blind eye. And this eye controls the media and structure the world we live in. So as me as Manke saying, guys, I have Mujita Ovalin and I need you to assist me. They're not going to do it. Why? Because of it only sees what men do to women. We have a lot of organizations for women, honestly. And some of them, they actually have no purpose. You don't know what they're doing. The government doesn't mind to pop up 50K for sanitary pads. Yes, it is needed. We need them. But whenever you're telling them about men's mental health, it's no. They don't want to be part of it, right? And I always tell people that we need a lot of this organization. It cannot only be Mujita Ovalin. It cannot only be not in my name. We need more. We need men as well to stand up for themselves and say, you know what, we can do this. We have a lot of women's organizations because women, they always come together and say, you know what, we need to fight this. Whenever Mucha Muna Ablaile Musadi, a lot of women, they fight. Social media, everywhere. But whenever Munwana Mushimana repeated like the previous one, people, they wanted to justify, no, somebody held him at that point, something like, there's always justifications when coming to men. So we need the government to say, you know what, we are here for you guys, and how may we assist you? We need music people, we need artists, because I noticed that a lot of men, they are using music as their coping mechanism. And we need all people to say, you know what do you guys need? How can we actually help you? Because our services, they are only online, because men, they don't want to be seen as weak people. So the organizations start on their low maintenance. Not like we need a huge amount of money. But so far, we're getting support from our clients. These are the guys saying, you know what, you have helped me. How can I help back? You have helped me. How can I pay for at least one kid to come for your program? So we need more. We need more of Mujita Ovalin. We need more of men saying, you know what, I want to be part of this. But it can only start with you guys, Katla at home, men, and say, you know what, we have had enough of these people. How can we be there for ourselves? And the other thing in Kwatisangori, even the men's conference, ever imaginary things, they don't be there. I remember when I wanted to do men's conference, that people would be like, no, but it's not going to be effective and stuff like that. Even those people were men, you know, the funny thing. When we say, fine, guys, how about we start an organization whereby we contribute money every month and whoever's going to an interview gets, you know, help. And they say, yeah, you know what, we're going to do it. But they never come through with those suggestions. It's only one or two people. So I think men, they need to love themselves more. The thing our indoda must, it doesn't work. Indoda must actually invest in himself, love himself, and take care of his mental health. Understand? A lot of men now, they are working, but they are working for another side because indoda must provide. But what about a real woman? You need to assist. You need to take care of your man. But nobody's talking about that. So yes, we need more. Actually.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And there are people that are listening to us right now, and maybe most of them are just wondering, you know, I'm hearing you talking about Mujita, you know, those ones that are forming part of this movement. They are often, you know, it seems like there's a relation that you guys form over time of support. And there's someone that wants to really form part of this. Break it down for us in terms of some of those programs that you offer at Take a Boy Child. Take a boy child to counseling, or just in general, the Mujita Ovalin, you know, movement. What are those things that, you know, you cater for? Because I believe this Take a Boy Child to counseling is part of one of the programs that you do there at Mujita Ovalin. Well, what are these programs that you have?
We have programs for soccer players because they're going through a lot, but we don't allow them to. We don't allow them to have that healthy space to talk about things that bothers them inside and outside the field. And we do have programs for taxi drivers. We have programs for truck drivers and, basically my security, Brazba, Poblo, Makawash, and everyone. Mind you, the sessions start on a register gas Venek, you know, like Chapitori.
Yeah.
Sessions start on, we do them in Venek, ra over. The main reason why ra over is because of this time I started this, they told me language ke botat. I can't be coming to counseling what I'm doing in the school because, you know, it sounds fancy. It sounds too fancy for them. So when people come and say, you know what, hot money. Yeah, Kabono Karo Vetira Topo Jinsa. Then we talk. And we have programs for mine workers. I've heard that and I've researched to where at least one person will be a miracle due to alcohol. You know, it's substance. So we say, you know what, let us work with you guys. But it's not even easy. Those people, they don't welcome us. Those people, they don't want to be part of this program. You have to fight until they actually open a door for you. And whenever they open a door for you, there is a lady who is in power and who won't allow you to bring that program. So they haven't welcomed us, honestly, but we're still trying to push. They still haven't, but we're hoping that this is just the beginning. One day we will make it. And
I love the focus. I love the fact that, you know, it's focused. Soccer players, so I guess you've identified the gaps that exist within these spaces. Or you often find that these are the people or the men that have approached you. And when you group them, you find that most of these people, like the Mfano Kista program, I mean, here we're seeing that soccer players that help, or you helping them to speak about things that they encounter inside and outside of the field that affect their mental health, just intended to serve as a solution to most of the social players, problems that players face. I didn't think that soccer players would really be going through the most. What is it that they're going through? You know, one would look at their lives and would think that, you know, life of a soccer player, it's fancy. You're traveling, they're moneyed, and they're driving nice cars and the likes. That we wouldn't believe at face value that these are the people that might be going through the most.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm going to be honest with you. I've only worked with one. And I've only worked with one, but I've been trying to break in. As I said, it's not easy. But one thing that I know, and the information that he shared with me, he said they're going through financial abuse. And most of them, you know, whenever you are a soccer player, there's a certain age of which you can no longer go back to the ground. And now that you need to retire. Most of them, whenever they retire, they have nothing left because they've used all the money with the girls and the fun, and they hardly invest. So we are here to provide financial coaching. And most of them also, they're going through childhood traumas. The one that I was working with, he said, you know what, Mank, every time I get inside that room, I forget who I am. You know, and he said, if it wasn't of that ground, I would have been dead now. And he told me that ever since his life, he has actually written more than 5 suicidal notes. This is somebody that we know. Somebody who's actually out there living his best life. Actually, we think that he's living his best life, you know. And these people are going through a lot. But the media, it also goes back to the media that they don't allow them. One player vent or come public with whatever that they're going through, they're going to use it against them. You see, so it's the media also, it plays a major role in these people. And I actually applaud you guys for welcoming us and say, you know what, we want to hear what you do, because we don't get that. We hardly get that. They don't even recognize how there's this company going on. So soccer players are going through a lot, honestly. But and some of them, they don't get an opportunity to raise their kids. You know, because they've been with a woman probably one night stand or whatever, and now that he doesn't want to be with her anymore, it's no, now you're not allowed to see my kid, you know. They are these women that are breaking men for another woman. And I always say, if you don't want to be with Katleho, just be honest. Don't use Katleho. And Tabaya financial abuse, it goes back to gender-based violence. You understand? Don't use him. He won't harm you. honestly. Don't use men. That is one thing that I always preach to women. Have your own. Have your own hustle. Have your own things. Because once you depend on these people, but a lot of men, they have this entitlement issues, like our own. Once that he starts to provide, is now a worker. You understand? So I always say, if we women can have our own, a lot of this gender-based violence, ikafela. And I always say, a healed man is a healed nation. Once we heal this man, guys, we're going to have a peaceful life. But how do we heal this man while there are women, baba bailanging again, or baba jeez? You see, and we cannot only address this man. We need to address this woman. Or again, the times Jesus or Muti, what are you going to do with you accordingly? They don't want to listen. So, yeah, going back to what you asked me, soccer players, they go through a lot of things, and I wish we can get that opportunity to talk with these people.
And you know they what? Come out some more as well and share the experience. I mean, you're saying it's only one. But you know what? It's a movement, this thing. I'm certain that over time, we'll get more just opening up and coming to share their experiences. They're also featuring here as part of those people that form part of the movement.
One of those ones are actually going through a lot. Most of the taxi drivers, they are graduates that are frustrated. Life I company, because I want to give it to the top. And now that Mutu opera mutiling every day, this is not something that he wanted. This is not something that he planned. This is not something that he wakes up and be happy guy on. I always tell people who are nobody grew up and say, I want to be a taxi driver, guys. Nobody. Yes, we grew up people wanting to own taxis to create wealth. But nobody wakes up and say, go a taxi driver. Now go fetch a school, guys, a license, carilla tax. We grew up wanting to be people like Bukatle, who grew up wanting to be the practitioners, Mapudi, Sadinese. And a lot of people buy local taxi because of they had no other options. They wanted to provide everything. It was going to frustrate you, honestly. And after that, bakopana le rona, talk with people that are still healing. Go acknowledge their traumas. And we are like early fella in the morning, or what like 100 rand. Or patela, no sister, you know what? It's like sali early again. I change your own magaz.
Sometimes it's the thing that you don't know what people are going through, which is why I say that you need to be kind. At least I love the fact that they are coming out to speak around their day-to-day experiences, really there's so much healing and power in breaking the silence. Do we see them encouraging even more of their colleagues within that space to come through and just break the silence? Are the numbers picking up?
Yeah, the numbers are actually picking up. And one thing that I like, Kohore, it comes from taxi owners. They say, you know what, we want to be with you in this program, and we want to help you, but you need to help us to help our people, you know, because these people, they're bringing a revenue, Corona. And whenever somebody's mentally not stable, there's nothing that they can do, you know. So there are actually two owners that are really rooting for the movement, and they have enrolled their drivers for this program. And other people that I think we need to cater more to security. People, they don't understand. And it's so sad, because he is a father, he is a breadwinner, he is an uncle, and he's trying. There's nobody who wakes up and says, "Nagetla mafela komunyako," the whole day without rest, without nobody. But Rona, we don't actually consider them. And even now, whenever they tell you about their ideal men, whatever, there is bad notion going on. There is even lack of respect for these people. And by corona, and little namajita, you contribute to this thing because Hali Chizes Brasco Kawash, you always exclude them. Whenever someone are, you know, they wanna throw their opinion, you haven't achieved anything. And sometimes those good advice, we get them from those people.
Yeah, honestly, we get them
from the street. And, you know, I wish, you know what, we can celebrate these people more.
Yeah, that is true.
Even people like you, Katla, we need to celebrate them. It's, it's not really likely for somebody to say, I want to hear this out. Why men are going through this? And getting this from a man is actually the best morning thing that has ever happened. And I'm so grateful for you. And Luan, I want to tell you that we have a healthy space for people like you.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to talk about other people. Meanwhile, we're not only thing the ones to exclude. You know, and Luan, I'm here for you. Should anytime you feel hurt, you know what? Now, Karen, but you like him or not, you know?
Yeah.
There are bad days as well, you
of
know?
Course.
So we talk, and it's okay.
Yeah, you know what, Mangi, I really appreciate it. And people don't really take these opportunities because you feel that you're not. And I often tell people that you don't need to be going through something to just talk and to just get someone listen to you. Often the world is too much with us. There's a lot happening. We're going through the most. You wake up already, your life is planned out, a 9 to 5, and this time to this time, kids involved, there's this and there's that. So you, that moment of just debriefing, taking a step back and having an outlet to speak out, it's very, very important because often also I hear of this muted kind of issues that we're going through, like your muted anxieties, muted depression, where sometimes then when you get triggered and then you just see this other side of yourself and you're like, hey, and not knowing that you're actually triggered by something that has been underlying for quite some time. So it's always important to break the silence and to speak. But I want us to close it off here and just ask you, how do people get hold of you? How do people form part of this movement? If there's a man out there that is listening and then we want to double those numbers from 200-300 to even 800, how do people actually reach out and break this silence and we spread it really across various provinces as well? Whoever is listening anywhere, right now there's that power of engagements through social media and the likes, so you can really not say that I'm in the Eastern Cape, a deep Eastern Cape, so I'm not able to speak to you, but I need to speak to you. There's always a way that we can make it work. So how do we get hold of you?
Thank you for that. Actually, you can get us on Facebook. It's Mujita Ovalena, and my personal account, Manke Meke Marakala. It's Manke Meke Marakala. And our line is 064-973-5998. And our sessions are online. So meaning, Hore, wherever you are, we can always make a way to make you feel better.
Yeah, no, really, everyone, I'm just urging everyone, even mothers, you know, of boy children and whoever, I'm urging you to please take up this opportunity and let's just heal together. You know, let's just be all sane and on the same page. And hopefully some of these social challenges, their frictions, their clashes would tend to be minimized because we are intentional about speaking on what we're going through. 064-973-5998 064-973-5998 that is where you can get hold, of course, of Manke here and the team, and they are online. So wherever you are, just check them out on Facebook. Jita Ovalina, Manke is also on Facebook as well. You can find her there. And just let's speak. Let's break the silence as men. Let's take our boy children to counseling as men. Let's be intentional about breaking the stereotype of men don't cry and the likes, and you're weak when you seemed to be seen. Do you also cater for people, members of the LGBTQI? But in these sessions, that's something that I forgot to ask, actually.
Yes, we do actually cater for them. Leona, it's not really quite a good number. because we haven't really reached out the way we're supposed to do. Mm. It has always been a boy child and a man, a boy child and a man. It's only now that we're saying, guys, now we think that we've forgotten something and we need to fix it.
So I'm
actually working on it, and thank you so much for, you know.
Yeah, because let's be as comprehensive and as possible and as reaching as possible, because I tell you, there are also boy children that form part of the LGBTQI that are suffering in silence, you know, so they need an outlet. And this could be a space for them to also, you know, face like-minded male that, you know, older and they've gone through challenges as teenagers that would be able to just advise them accordingly. Do you also do connections? Do you connect people? Let's say if we are in the same industry, do you connect me with someone else?
You know, I do that a lot. And because there are people like you and whoever that actually also connects me.
Mm.
So we only reaching out for growth. And the thing that depressed my jitaki, so whenever I have a plan, get a norman, I know Katleho, man, let me just call him and order something, you know?
Let's push this. Yours is a very important one. And thank you very much for coming through in the early hours of the morning, the godly hours. That's how we describe them on the show. But I really appreciate your time.
No, man, thank you, Katleho, man, ole para, ne? And have a good day, man.
Coming through there from she's a counselor for men and the founder of Mchita Ovalina. A lovely 1 hour discussion here.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.